Let us talk about how do we get out of the quiet zone of evangelism. If you think about it, most quiet places, two things are happening. One, there's an exam going on. So for that reason, you're not supposed to make noise for those people that are there because they need to focus. Or someone's been operated on and they're very sick and they need to rest and you should not make noise in that place. Does that make sense? Having said that, it then begs the question, if we don't talk about God enough and invite people to Christ, is it possible that we've been giving ourselves exams? You know the way you rate yourself about things? And then you feel guilty and afraid to start trying something again? And sometimes you're telling people about God and they're not responding well, and then you rate yourself and you make it all about you and you don't want to try again. You try to walk away from that thinking, maybe something is wrong with me. So you keep taking exams and you go to the quiet zone. You don't talk a lot about God. And then there's the other side that can be, you're just sick spiritually. You know when you're sick, you don't want to talk a lot. When you're sick, you're not active. When you're sick, you're not involved in life. You're in bed. You cover that place so much. You go to the hospital and you come back and that's it. You're in the quiet zone. And that is the other thing. Sometimes we may not be connecting with God enough and so we get sick spiritually and hardly get to a place where we can tell anyone about God because it's not something we're inspired about. We're not inspired to be a part of the body of Christ. We're not inspired to have a walk with God that tells us that God has been good to us. That we're not inspired enough to say, you know what? I would not have it any other way other than the way God has turned out my life. And so we get in this space of discontentment. And we don't like our family groups. We don't like all kinds of things. What we don't realize, we are the solution. And God wants to walk with us. For that to happen, though, we have to look at this scripture. And so we know that and rely on the love God has for us. That's what we rely on. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. It's impossible to do anything for God if you're not in love with God. If you do it for duty, you'll get tired. If you do it to prove, you'll get tired. If you do it to kind of just get a good conscience, once you get the good conscience, you stop. But when you're in love, it's a different ballgame. You stay with God. I mean, just for a show of hands, how many of us have been married for 30 years? 30 years. 30, 3-0. Look at that. Look at that. That is love. Now, how many of us have been married for 6 months? Not yet, Victor. 6 months? 1 year? Oh, surely. 6 months, everybody's done more than 6 months. Six and over. Six and over. Six and over. 6 months and over. That is love. That is love. I chose a low number because a lot of people lose their love for one another very quickly. And because they're focused on what was done for them and what was not done, what am I not receiving? Now, if you're single and you're wondering, what's this all about? You need to be in love with God. So it's a simile. Marriage is a simile of how it looks like when you're in love with God. It's not about performance. It's not about duty. If you ask all these people that have been married either 1 year, 6 months, and over, it's not duty. You cannot get married to someone for 30 years and make it about duty. You will give up. You start talking about, what about me? What do I get out of it? And he said, you can't do this. This, when you get married, it's about God and the other person. And then God fills you as well. Does that make sense? So it's about love. He lives in, we have to learn to love God. And when you love God, you can talk about him. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. We are called to understand the love of God. When you're imbued with the love of God, you reflect God.
and you begin to be more like Jesus Christ, then you cannot help but start being or start talking about Jesus because you're so imbued with him. Couples have been around together for a long time, have some similarities about them. They do things together. And for some reason, they're very much alike. They're individual people, but they have some good chemistry going on between them. Similarly, when you get connected with God, there's a chemistry you develop with Jesus. And you cannot help but talk about it. And you're inspired to talk about Jesus. It comes out of you like you can't help it, but you just find yourself saying something. When you love God, it comes out. When you love someone, it comes out. You talk about it. You know, there's something we got to understand. Christianity can easily be misconstrued. And we replace Jesus with the things we do. No, it starts with Jesus. It doesn't start with what you do. What you do is a reflection of your relationship with God. When it's dying, it's your relationship with God that's dying. And that's what we need to get right. So he said, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I don't know of anyone who is in love with God or in love with someone they love so much and they keep quiet. It's not possible. And many of us don't understand what it means to be in love because the first time we tried it, it went south. So we don't want to try that. They say love is for weak people. Oh no, it's for those that really want to know Jesus. We are afraid to be vulnerable, to be real, to connect. Connection is something we defer. We don't like connections. We prefer to function with a structure, never connected. You need to be connected to Jesus to begin to be able to do that. There's no fear in love. If you ask all these couples who have been around for these years, are they afraid of each other? No. That's why they live together. When you're afraid of that person, you leave quickly. But if you love each other, you walk through things, difficulties, and you turn around. So perfect love drives out fear. What is your fear about just evangelism in general? And there are many other things in Christianity. But if you're not in love with God, you can have a hard time just talking about God and say, wait a minute, why don't I even tell anyone about Jesus? I want to question your love with God because that's where you need to get it right. If you're connecting and having love with God, everything else comes easy. If you don't get that right, it's duty. You'll be up on this for a week. You'll be dead by the second. Or you'll be doing it for a month. You'll be done by the second month. You've got to understand how love drives us in this area. Amen? Okay, where does it start? Let's get going. Our relationship with God precedes activity. That's where it all starts. Luke 10, 38, 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on the way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She heard a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Sometimes we're doing everything else and feeling, why is everybody not like me? God, tell them to help me. Look at the answer. Martha, Martha, calming down. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. We wake up every morning to get ourselves ready to get on with the day's work. It's really activity. And I think that in the quest of trying to be productive, we can get so caught up in getting ready that we never have a relationship with God. And the reason we give is, I was trying to get things done. Now, you have to understand this though. For us to be effective, you need to connect with God. I have found that the last few weeks, My life got a bit, schedule-wise, really climbed. It just got heightened in every sense of it. And the more it heightened, the more I had this huge hunger to connect with God. Because I felt I couldn't carry the load if I wasn't having a relationship with God. Your capacity is not limited by the hour. It is limited by your relationship with God. Many of us get overwhelmed, overcome, run over because we've shut down the source that gives us energy to do anything, to do anything. And over time, we come to this space where we hardly connect with God. It's just activity and it's a dry space.
Mary was in that space.
Activity, activity. Good stuff, not the better stuff. We do good stuff, not the better stuff.
Church, we've got to rise ourselves a little bit here.
We've got to choose wisely. Praying doesn't take you away from God. It brings you closer. You say, but how will I do the rest of the things?
When you pray, you will begin to understand that.
How do I do that? When you read the Bible, you'll hear his voice and say, what do I need to do? What is the schedule of the day? And how do I do that in a way that God is the center of what I'm doing?
Half of the time, we are frustrated, angry, anxious. Why? Because God is not in the middle of it. We have not chosen what is better. We're doing what is good. And over time, it stops being effective. It takes relationships.
It's all about relationships. You have a good relationship with God, then you can have a relationship with other people, and you can help someone to know about God. Let me ask another question. How would you define your relationship with God? Is it intimate? Okay? Functional? Real? Intimate. It's amazing. You can't help but be there. Be connected. It's a place you gather strength, clarity. You see things because God is saying things to you. You get in the Word. It's transformative. Functional, it's just something you do. You pop up here, you read, you walk away. Nothing changes. It's just functional. I have a functional relationship. I don't even trust God. I just function. I know enough not to leave, but I just function. That's functional. You don't want to be functional. I don't do well when I'm functional with my wife. I don't do well when I'm functional with my children. I need a connection. I want to have a place where we can laugh and hang out. And this is great and joke. And I'm like, you're just getting to me on this one. We want to be real there. But when it's intimate, it's that. But when it's functional, we are guarded. How much do I let out? How much do I not let out?
Why do you want to live a life like that when Jesus says, I've come to give you life to the full?
Why are you cheating yourself out of life?
You can have that life that says to the full. It's not having candy every day. It's growing and connecting with God. That is what it's all about. It's not just function. It's intimate. Is it real? I like a real relationship with Jesus because then I can tell him what I'm going through. Like David would say, I am tired of this and I'm tired of that. But then he would end by saying, but you were God. Amen. Too many people think because being a Christian says you cannot be real. You need to be real. Not abusive. Real. Not giving in to emotions. Real. Because then God can help you navigate that step. And that's what Martha was not getting right. Plug on with God and you can function. And you can function amazingly. You'll be amazed at how much you can take on when you plug on with God. And there are too many people who say, why aren't you reading? I don't have the time. No, you got the priorities wrong. Why aren't you praying? I just don't connect with God. Of course, because you will not talk to him. How will you connect? Oh, prayer doesn't make sense. Precisely. You haven't tried to connect. You want to get the fruit without planting it. You have to walk at this thing and have a relationship with God. It takes relationships to get to anything. If we don't have relationships, it doesn't function. Look at your family groups and think about that. It all comes down to relationships. That's when it functions. Undivided attention kills evangelism.
Sometimes, dads, you're watching TV and your children are trying to get your attention, and you're just playing with a, you're walking with a remote control. Sometimes, moms, you're doing the remote control or you're cooking. Sometimes, children, they're trying to talk to you and you're on your game on the phone, and you're not getting attention. Nobody's, we have divided attention. It is frustrating when you're trying to talk to someone who's not there. That something else is important than what they're trying to do. It's frustrating. It's annoying. Some of us react by just being quiet. Others get angry. Others just spend the rest of the day blaming that person. James 4, 7 through 8. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. We have to take the first step because God is not forcing himself on us. He wants you to choose, even though you are his child, he wants you to choose him. He's not forcing himself on you. You come close to him, but it takes humility. Humility is coming to a place of realizing, I cannot function without God. There is so much pride in the world that says, I'm self-sufficient. I say, you live by the grace of God, including your breathing right now. Have you ever gone to the hospital and seen people that cannot breathe without a machine? Then you think we do this because we can do it. It's by the grace of God. Have you gone to the hospital and seen people that cannot walk? Not because they're bad people, but because by the grace of God you can walk. We've got to understand this properly. And when you understand that, you stop being distracted and stop being divided and have attention with God. So he says this, come close to God and he'll come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Sometimes you got to deal with sin, period. There's sin in life that needs to go. It can be just you're in the sin of gossip. You're in the sin of just laziness. You're in the sin of not just giving your heart to God. Whatever it is, you know what is right, but you will not do it. Sin of omission. We've got to deal with that. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Church, is it possible that we have one leg in the kingdom and one leg in the world? That the world is appealing in some ways, and so we have this sense of, man, I'm not sure I want to put all my eggs in one basket, which is the kingdom of God. I want to have one leg in the kingdom. I mean, in the world. That's like telling your wife, I'm married to you, but I have an exit door in case something doesn't go right. You talk to the sisters and they'll let you know, wait a minute, it's not happening. If you come in, we're going to be one, we're going to be one. We're done deal here. God, why do you expect God to take that? If another soul will not take that, why would God take that? Now, frankly speaking, we can get worldly about how we view the world, we view the church, view people. And because of that, we don't invite them to hear the word of God. We don't view it in a godly way. I love, you're my family. I love you guys. It's awesome to come here and have the fellowship and talk to people. Genuine people. It's just awesome. Young, mature, middle. We have a good time. All perspectives. But if you're divided, you will not hear from God. So I have a question for you. What is dividing your attention? You know it when you get critical. You know it when you don't give your heart. You know it when you feel like you have a pull to the world more than to God. What's happening? Divided attention kills evangelism. That's what happens. And you cannot do that on, okay, every person I meet, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. You have to have a connection with God so that he can show you who you need to tell them. Not everyone you meet will hear about Jesus. Some will, some will not. They're not ready. There are people I meet and I can't help myself before I know it. I told them, by the way, this. And there are people I'll meet and talk about the weather and everything else. And I don't feel guilty that I didn't tell them about Jesus. Too many of us need to overcome that issue of feeling guilty and be led by the Spirit. Amen. But you have to be praying about it, thinking about that stuff. That's when it functions. Now, as a church, we spend a lot of time building the inside, talking about being safe and talking about connecting. Don't leave that stuff and switch. We don't switch. We keep that. We have to have a relationship with God and one another. Then this functions. Does that make sense? But divided. If you like the world more than the kingdom, you're going to have struggle. Are there things in the world that pull your heart? Is it possible that you're more happy about the latest phone than you're happy about salvation? Is it possible that you're more happy about the latest car than you're happy about salvation? I have nothing against those things. I love those things. But they cannot bring me joy more than God does. They help me function. I have nothing against them. But I have to have more joy about God than anything else. Change your view of the world. I just talked about being attracted to the world, but let's talk about that. You got to have a paradigm. Sometimes the world pulls us and we feel like I need things in the world. Do you realize you can do with less in your life today than what you have? Honestly, you do. If your AC goes off, you'll survive. You will not die. You'll drink a lot of water and you'll survive. Amen? If you cannot afford to see a dentist, we'll figure out another way of helping you out. You'll survive. Yeah, yes, you will. And I think that we let the world speak to us way too much and hear less of God. Our paradigm doesn't show who God is when God says, I'm the author of your faith. Do you understand what that means? He understands everything. You can come to him and he'll take care of that. We don't claim these promises. According to your faith, it will be done. We don't claim that. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We don't claim that. Without faith, you cannot please God. How do you develop that? Get in the Word. It starts with God and ends with God. I just met a brother that has been trying so hard to have a child. And they were telling me yesterday how I think it's Tuesday, God willing, they'll have a child. And they're so excited. And that's an amazing place to be. And then this same week, I talked to a brother who I love dearly, and his mother died, and it's devastating. In the same week, one guy, we have victory of a child is coming, and one guy, my mom just died. And I said, does it not start with God? And we end with God. But in between, we get mixed up, and we think that the world has a say in these things. No, God has a say. So let's get our perspective right here. Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said, take 2, verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion with them because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. He went around synagogues talking about, preaching, healing, and meeting all those needs. But he said something that's profound, that the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. That is true every day. It's our paradigm that has shifted. That's true every day. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. The workers is you and I. That is true every day. And that becomes the question. Are you a worker? Or maybe you've moved away and your paradigm has been shifted. You're in the tunnel. You don't see things clearly. Everything is going to... Oh, I'm going through such a tough time. It's a bad thing. No. You go through a tough time to latch onto God so that you can come over the other side growing and glorifying God. You don't go through a tough time to die without tough time. How many tough times have you faced? How many? Many.
I have faced many.
Many, many that some I don't like to talk about, but some I'm happy to talk about with some joke, with some humor with it. But God always shows me in hindsight, never when I'm there, in hindsight, that this was good. Then I've come to a point of, I want to keep up with God. When I'm going through it, I want to see what He's doing. I don't want to fret, be anxious. I connect. I say, what's going on, God? Let's make it happen. That's where we need to come. Because when you hear God, clarity comes your way and you begin to make the right decisions, godly decisions, righteous decisions. The half is spent for the workers of you. People need to hear about God. I don't want you to leave here and just go tell them because you want to be fruitful. I would like you to talk about God because you see what He's doing in your life. Don't just say it because I want to show I'm fruitful. It's not for us. It's for God. It's not for me. I share with people what God is doing because I cannot help but tell them God can transform your marriage. God transform your single life. God can transform your college life. God can transform anything. But when we experience trouble in our area of life, we think then it doesn't work. Oh no, that is part of growing. We must embrace suffering as well as we grow. Pruning must take place. Pruning is part of being godly. It's okay to go through tough times. We almost think, oh, the world is going crazy. Why am I going through this? Have you forgotten? You're a son and a daughter of God. You're going to go through some discipline so that God may raise you to the place. Stop giving up and start having faith. Stop giving in and start raising up and say, God, show me what you want us to do together. And sometimes all you have to do is pray. Open your heart to God's word and what He's trying to do in your life. Amen? What dominates your mind? So we're talking about that. Let's talk about that. Worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Too many of us are in that rocking chair Monday to Monday. We keep rocking that chair and nothing happens. The Bible has an answer for that. It's an antidote. The Bible says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. I chose this for a reason. Unbelievers, you can be a Christian that does not believe what the Word says. It dominates their minds. God already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. So because we're dominated by these things, we stop being righteous. And we're not seeking the kingdom. We seek these things. You know, some things you've got to do what you can do, but pray and let God do His thing. If you're coming to the light and your car number 15, that light is going to shut down before you get there. It doesn't mean you will not go. You will go eventually. When you try doing all these kind of things, you get into an accident, right? If you're trying to overlap and get ahead. Just wait, your turn will come. The biggest challenge we face today in the 21st century is waiting. Waiting on God is a hard thing. Why wait when you can go and Google it right now? Why wait when you can just do this and this and press this will come up? Why wait when you can microwave it? So we take shortcuts. The problem with shortcuts is that you cannot build character or relationships with shortcuts. You have to come the right way. Have the right foundation. Get it down. The right things that God wants you to do. That you'll have to get in the Bible. If you're visiting, get in the Bible to hear how does that function. And then you begin to build a real relationship and turns around. So stop getting on the rocking chair and see this. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Stick with God now. Hear God's voice right now. You may be worried about what will happen after 12 o'clock. Stay with me for a few seconds. God has something to say to you. It will transform your life. Take that. Go home with it
and begin to use that to transform your life, anxiety and worry just chokes your relationship with God.
You know, when it comes down to it, that's what's choking our faith.
When it comes down to it, that's why we don't enjoy fellowship. We are worried, how will I look? How will I turn out? Just say hello. We like all voices here. It's not a choir.
That's right. Let me finish by saying this. Get back to the journey of spiritual formation.
This is the Message version, so it says differently. Romans 12 we know, but listen what it says.
So here's what I want you to do. God helping you take every day, ordinary life. You're sleeping.
Yeah, you're sleeping. That's something that can conform to the world or can be godly.
You're eating, going to work, and walking around life and place it before God as an offering.
Church, if you're going to spend some time knowing God in the morning, you need to sleep early. Other than the mothers with young kids, you need to sleep early. It'll help you. Mothers have no choice. They got to take care of that. And fathers as well, depending on how your farm is running. But you really need to get in that place early so that you can connect with God in the morning.
And it talks about here, these ordinary things are all about offering before God. If you look at these things, there's many ways you can worship God just with this simple stuff.
It's not the big stuff. It's the simple stuff that we got to do well. Embracing what God does for you in the best, it's the best thing you can do for Him. Let's embrace God, not resist Him or be indifferent. Embrace God in every aspect of your life. Embrace God.
You see, if music is playing and you're indifferent, what do?
You don't even know what the sound is, right?
But if music is playing and it's really you're connecting, you start nodding your head, you start tapping your feet, because there is a connection. You're embracing what's coming out of that place. Does that make sense?
Let's embrace what God is doing.
Let's not just be indifferent or ignore that. Let's embrace what God is doing. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking.
Is it possible that we're so well adjusted into this culture?
That people say, okay, so you go to church, but you're no different. You cuss. Man, I see what you post online. You're just as we are. You're angry with everything that goes on. You don't pray for them. You don't talk to anyone that's not like you. You just talk to people like you. You say, how different are you if you're a Christian? You're negative. If people start saying anything that's negative, you jump in like nobody's business. So how different are you? And you don't have to isolate, but you can stand up and talk about it. As we had this morning, being a Christian equals standing up for what is godly. You can't just avoid and isolate. You got to stand up and have some conversations around that. Don't become so well adjusted in this place without thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. That's what you do. You'll be changed from inside out.
This changes inside out, people. You've got to deal with the inside issues. The anger, all that stuff is inside.
Readily recognize what He wants from you.
We need to come to a place where we can recognize what God wants us from us. If we are confused, it's because we are not connected to Him yet.
Readily recognize that. And then what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. Develop well-formed maturity in you.
Church, we've got to mature in our faith,
mature in our relationships, mature in our love for one another, mature in just how we tell people about God.
That is not a place for
weak people. It's a godly place. We've got to be strong and fight for it and help each other to do this well. I pray
that you can do this. In finishing, this is going to be quick. Is stop watering the weeds in your life and start watering the flowers.
You get what you focus on. That is, as I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow for trouble
reap it. In other words, if that's your focus this week, good stuff, you'll get good stuff. If your focus is bad stuff, you get bad stuff. What are you watering this week?
Please choose to stay with the flowers, not with the weeds. Amen?
We will not keep going.
That's my last one. Depend on the Spirit.
God bless you.